Blog Talk Radio.
Hello. Oh. Okay, I was waiting for that recording to autoplay, but I guess it didn't autoplay. Anyways, alright. Yeah, we're still working out the bugs for this, but this is our free food and medicine portion of our podcast. We have three podcasts now, technically. And so go to ManicMondayPodcast.com to see the index of what we do. We got three podcasts. We got Scrap Go Scrap, Demented Dungeons and Dragons, and this one, which is also part of our Demented Dungeons and Dragons. It's the halfway mark of our Demented Dungeons and Dragons podcast. So today we're going to be talking about free food and medicine. And today's topic for free food and medicine is dandelions.
All right, I've been practicing, so forgive me if I get it wrong anyway. The scientific name for the common dandelion, Taraxacum officinal. All right, so I guess that word officinal means it's the one they use for medicine.
It sounds Illuminati.
Probably. It's Latin. It's Latin, but, you know, they decided to use Latin, this dead language, so that everybody has a common word for a specific type of plant. And so it helps. Because if you tell somebody to go pick pigweed, there's at least three plants I've run across that are called pigweed in various herb books. All right? Two of them are related, and one of them isn't even close to the other two. All right? You know, so that's, you know, so going off of common names, all sorts of things can be called the same thing. And you might not lay your hands on the right thing. I mean, it's like, my mom ate hemlock when I was very young, all right? Somebody told her she was eating hemlock, and she freaked out and spitting it out. And it's like, well, actually, it was perfectly okay because hemlock is the name of a type of pine tree. It's also the name of a plant in the carrot family. Well, the one in the carrot family is poisonous. The pine tree's okay. Probably actually full of vitamin C. Anyway, so, you know, common names can be dangerous. So, you know, learning the scientific name of your plant is kind of important. And everybody knows what a dandelion looks like. Okay, and I've got Marcus Rothkrantz's book here, and I'm just going to read this very first line here. It says, common dandelion, yes. Those weeds growing in your yard, they are God's gift to you. They are better for you than anything you have in your refrigerator. And that's pretty much the truth. I mean, they're full of vitamin A. I found out they're also got vitamin C. They got the B complex, or at least most of it. They've got lots of different minerals and phytoestrogens, and I'm going to mispronounce this, saponones. There we go. All right. So, you know, like they're good for your skin. They strengthen your kidney. If you need a diuretic, you know, they do that. They're a mild laxative. So they, you know, they help you eliminate.
Go poo.
Yep. You can roast them to make a coffee substitute.
Coffee.
Yep. Just like their cousin.
The chicory.
Their cousin chicory. Yep. Yep. You can roast their roots and make a coffee substitute out of them. They are good for you. You should have them in your salad on a regular basis. They're actually very closely related to lettuce. And the difference being the iceberg lettuce you buy in the store is devoid of nutrients and is mostly water. You know, whereas, you know, you get wild lettuce and dandelion, and they are full of nutrients. They, you know, they'll help you out. Rothkrantz's book lists the dandelion root, rich in trace minerals for bone, cartilage, tendon, ligament, formation. It's a blood cleanser. It removes acid from the blood, fiber, and a probiotic. Okay. Another book I've got here, it mentions the use of dandelion root, making a tea from it. This guy used it to, I'd have to find it in the lines, but you know, he used it as a tea and avoided, I guess surgery to remove gallstones or something like that. Anyway, and then it says the dandelion seeds are an antibiotic. It says the bitter taste makes them great for the liver. That's a little bit of circular reasoning. The chemical that makes them taste bitter is what makes them great for your liver. So just because something's bitter doesn't mean it's good for your liver. So
that's not what Marcus Rothkind says.
Well, you know.
He's my God.
Yeah. Sometimes his tongue slips too. Yeah, if you got his book and you turn to the section on dandelions, they've got this beautiful picture here. It looks like a giant dandelion flower rising up as if it's the sun over a field of dandelions. So it's beautiful.
Pretty ugly.
Well, yeah.
Just kidding. Yeah. I love dandelions. They taste like chicken.
Well, yeah, and you can find them. You can find them all year.
Pretty much.
You can, you know. Hey.
They taste better in the winter.
Thistle root and dandelions and trying to think of what else in the family I used to dig up the roots of. You can even eat the lettuce roots, the wild lettuce roots. But you have to pretty well get them early fall, you know, because when the plant dies, the root rots away quickly on your lettuces. But dandelions and thistles, their roots stay, and you can find them all winter long if you can identify what's left at the top of the plant. I wouldn't just dig up random roots and eat them because you might get a hold of a hemlock root, which would be very tasty, from what I understand, but it's poisonous.
It will kill you.
It will kill you. The people who have eaten it said, "Yeah, it tastes just like parsnips," as their kidneys wasted away and they die. So. That's, you know, okay, so this other book, it talks about preparation and stuff like that for it.
Preparation H?
Yeah, well, no, preparing it. It says the taproot is edible all year. Best from fall to early spring. Before fall, the taproot's very brittle, and you tend not to get all of it. It tends to break off. Little pieces. That's why people have so much trouble removing dandelion from their lawns, because the root just breaks up, and every little bit that breaks up and is left in the ground becomes a new dandelion plant. So unless you pull up,
which is good if you like dandelion.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, that's how I used to propagate it. I used to dig up the root and section it into two or three inch pieces and let it scab over and then stick it in the dirt and a new plant would come up. So let that grow for a while and divide it and repeat. So,
it's viable and invasive.
Right. And, you know, it's got more vitamin A than a carrot. You know, it's got more beta carotene in it than a carrot does. It's, got more vitamin C than lettuce, which actually I didn't know lettuce had vitamin C. Even this book talks about the minerals and stuff that are in it. This is one of my favorite books. Its pictures aren't as pretty as Rothkrantz's books, but it's called Identifying and Harvesting Edible and Medicinal Plants. And then its author is Wildman Steve Brill. And I guess Evelyn Dean did the illustrations. So.
Yeah, there's a bunch of people that wrote books like these, but I don't know. I globbed on to Marcus Rothkranz for whatever reason.
Oh, yeah. His book is wonderful. I mean, he's got – well, if you go to his if you go to his YouTube channel, go to his website, you know, Free Food and Medicine. Let's see now.
His is freefoodandmedicine.com.
Right.
I got the affiliate link to it, so if you go to freefoodandmedicine.net, I get credit.
Right. Yeah, so go to .net to get to his site, and then from his site you can hop to the YouTube channel and watch all of his wonderful videos, you know. And he's right. You know, God provided us with all this free and delicious food and medicine.
Yeah, like the Bible said, he will provide, and he did.
You know, and it's there for you to take. And, you know, if you're hard on your luck and you don't have much money, you don't have to starve.
Nope.
You know, the scripture says, you know, he who doesn't work, you know, doesn't need to eat, basically. But it doesn't require much work to eat.
No, just like the goats, just go out and find what you need.
Yeah, go out and find what you need and do a little study so you know what you're getting, you know.
Yeah.
But
don't be like me.
Yeah, don't be like Kano. Kano makes me wonder sometimes.
I scare him.
He goes and nibbles on the belladonna flowers.
They're good.
Yeah.
I freaked out this lady on YouTube, though, because she thought I died because I was eating a belladonna. And then I didn't make any videos for like a week. And she freaked out, thought I died.
Right.
And then I popped up with another video. And she was like, oh, my God, I'm so glad you're alive. It's kind of funny. Not for her, I'm sure. But it was funny for me.
Oh, do I hear the music? It's time for a commercial break. We have a sponsor. Us.
Yeah, we are 15 minutes in.
Yeah, so, you know, we got, there's this product that that we ran across. It's pretty good. It's called Nature Sunshine Products. And I would say it's a good and simple way to start getting your herbal medicine. You know, it's provided in familiar capsule format and whatever. You know, I mean, ideally you go out in the field and you'll harvest your own stuff. But, you know, to get started, you know, you could order the Nature Sunshine products. They have a pretty good line of stuff. You know, give us a call and you know, we could possibly send you out a book or whatever so that you could see what they have available.
Go to davidandavid.com.
davidandavid.com. And, you know, they even have capsules for dandelion. So, I like their product. I don't know that they carry Eyebright anymore, but they have another product that I buy, and I'm sorry, I don't know the name of it, and I really should have done a little research before I did the commercial. But I use it for, sometimes my vision gets a little bit less than par because I read this tiny little lit up screen called a cell phone, and I read it a lot because I read lots of PDFs off of it and I play games off of it and things like that, and even watch my
movies,
TV shows and movies on it. So yeah, it kind of messes with my vision, and I make up for that with one of Nature Sunshine's product, and it's for eye vision, and I'll make a point next week of knowing what that product's name is. Sorry for being so unprofessional, but they have all sorts of products for all sorts of conditions, and it's natural. It's, you know, so it's a good start toward heading in the right direction. So I guess that's good enough for the commercial. Yeah. Our sponsor may fire us because we're not very professional with, oh, wait a minute, I'm the sponsor.
We're not prepared.
Yeah, well, you know, we're learning. Okay. So
we're getting there.
Now, in my research, one of the things I did is I got a hold of this book called Organic Gardening. Oh, where'd it go? I lost it. Big, thick, green book. How did I lose it?
It's right there.
Where is it? Big, thick, green book?
Green. I don't know.
Oh, well, okay. I'll just do it by memory. All right.
Should be around here somewhere.
Yeah, I thought I had it right down here. Oh, here it is. It slipped between the door and my feet.
Left it on the hood of the truck and fell out.
Yeah, we drove off without it. Yeah. Okay, good. Because this is kind of funny. This is kind of funny. They actually have instructions for growing dandelions.
Oh, yeah. This is funny.
All right. So, do-do-do-do-do.
Do-do?
Yeah, do-do. Do-do-do-do. Dandelions grow well in any good soil. The seed is planted in the spring in rows, 18 inches apart, and covered by half inch deep. The seedlings are thinned to stand 1 foot apart in rows. The crop should be well cultivated and kept free of weeds. Most people consider dandelion to be a weed, so I thought that was funny. All right, so, and, you know, it goes on. You know, the roots should be dug up in the fall of the second season, you know, washed and dried whole. So it gives a good description of how to go about preparing this, you know, your dandelions and such. And it even suggests some ways of cooking it, you know, so.
But dandelions.
But people consider it a weed, and here it is. You got to cultivate it and keep it free of weeds.
Well, it's not even native to this country, right?
No, actually it's not. It was introduced as a food.
Right.
It was introduced as a food, and it's a good food. It's a very good food.
Right.
You know, all parts of it are edible. There is any part of it you can't eat. The flower heads, it's best to pick the flower heads. If you're going to eat the flower heads, it's best to pick them before they even open. That's, you know, actually when they'd be there at their sweetest. And
oh, before they bloom.
Before they bloom. Not after.
There is one part that's not edible.
What part?
The fuzzy part.
Well, it won't kill you.
Yeah, that's true. It probably is edible, or, you know, yeah, it's probably edible as well.
Yeah.
It's probably got some nutrients in it, but, yeah, the fuzzy part you probably won't like. After it goes to seed.
Yeah.
But just take a lighter to it and then eat the seeds. It's fun to watch the fluff burn.
Cane is a pyro, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Oh, my.
Yeah, it was originally introduced as a food, and we call it a weed.
Well, you know, there's a lot of things that way. I mean, thistle was brought here because of this beautiful purple flower, you know, but, you know, thistle's actually in the same family with dandelions. It's a more distant cousin. It's closer to lettuce and artichokes. But I would like to actually take some thistle and juice it. I mean, I've often weed whacked through it, and, you know, when you weed whack things, juice from plants flies all over the place, and so I actually tasted some thistle juice when I was weed whacking some thistles, and it's actually very tasty. But you got to get past the actual thistles of the thistle.
Right, because they're thistly.
Right, so I'm thinking, you know, if you take a thistle stalk and either skin it.
Well, get you a good juicer and
or juice
them.
Yeah, I'm thinking juice it because it's actually very tasty.
Because that's one pulp you really don't want to eat.
Yeah. And
but
then,
the other fruit and the other vegetables, you want to eat the pulp.
Yeah. The thistle root, I've got very tough teeth. So I'll dig up a thistle root from a thistle plant that's obviously more than a year old. It's I don't know how long thistles last, but I estimate that some of the thistle roots I dig up are probably 5 years old. Now, maybe they only go for 2 years, I don't know, but I dig at some pretty big thistle roots in the wintertime. And I'll slice them thin, and maybe I'll saute them, or I'll cook them in my rice, you know. And they're good for your heart and such, you know, everything in that family, you know, the dandelions, the lettuce, the Jerusalem artichokes, artichokes, they're all pretty much good for your heart and such. They have similar characteristics as far as nutrition goes. I don't know. Nature, plants have a way of protecting themselves if things like to eat them because they're full of nutrients. And, you know,
Some
thistle
things
has,
want to be eaten.
yeah, thistle's gone out of its way to really protect itself. I think that's a strong indication. It's probably one of the more nutrient-rich foods on the planet,
And tasty.
and cattle will actually eat it in mid to late fall. They generally wait until then before they eat it, and I'm not sure why that is, but
Probably less spooky.
well, I don't know, but that's when they go for it. And, you know, a lot of farmers, they don't want any thistles in their field because they say the animals won't eat them. Well, that's not true. They just don't eat them all year. They eat them at a certain time.
Well, yeah, our goats, they usually like the leaves. They prefer the dead leaves over the live leaves sometimes.
That's true, which kind of drives me crazy. They've got oak leaves available them all winter long, but they wait until spring. When the fresh green shoots are coming up, then they go around and eat all the oak leaves. They ignore the green shoots and eat the oak leaves, which is weird and strange. But anyway.
They are weird and strange.
Okay, we're running out of time here. We got about 6 minutes before we got to give up this podcast, and I want to make sure. I can't remember what all I want to say about dandelions.
And chickweed.
Right.
Chickweed's good for you too.
Yeah.
Good for weight loss and a bunch of other stuff. Dandelions are also good for diabetes.
Oh, yes, that's true. We got a friend that actually is reading through all the things that the dandelion will do for you. And we got a friend, I'm thinking I should specifically grow dandelions and prepare and give to him so he can drink dandelion tea every day. Because it'll help him with his diabetes. It'll help him. It has a sugar in it called inulin. Is that how you pronounce it?
I'm not sure, but it helps you regulate your insulin.
Yeah, it's a type of sugar that doesn't give you a quick insulin reaction, and that's in dandelions. That's in the root, mostly. But. All right, I'm running out of steam here.
Running out of steam. So yeah, check out Marcus Rothkranz at freefoodandmedicine.com or .net if you want to give me credit for it. Check out manicmondaypodcast.com to see all of our other podcasts.
Yes, and take a look at Nature's Sunshine products.
And go to davidandavid.com to see what we have to offer here on the farm, as well as Nature's Sunshine products.
Yes.
We're not selling them online yet, but we will be probably by the time you hear this podcast. Also, check out Oils of the Earth because we do aromatherapy as well. We'll be selling them at davidandavid.com, but I've been doing aromatherapy for, I don't know, 20 years. So I'm the aromatherapist, so to speak. David's the weedologist, so to speak. And our friend David Irish, who was going to join us but has yet to do so, he used to have an herb shop up in Kansas City. We called him the herbalist. So
Yeah,
between.
we kind of need a replacement for our herbalist because he kind of retired from that.
Yeah, he doesn't do herbs anymore. He doesn't do alternative health anymore. Well, he does it, but only for himself. He kind of retired from the business because of whatever reason. So There's a few reasons, but he may or may not join us here on the farm someday. But the David, David, and David concept is just a collective of ideas and concepts from David, David, and David, because we've all been doing this for so long.
Right.
And it's a mutual interest of all three of us. So whether the third David joins us or not, it's still a concept of his reality. So it still suits him.